Are we ready? Is that good enough, John?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. Really, it's by accident. I was telling John that I don't feel adequate sharing. I think this would be the title of it ought to be How Not to Run a Business, but How to Trust the Lord. 2000, when I got out of college, my dad drove a truck for a living, and he was home every day, and I'd gone to school and got a degree in education and started my master's, but he would always tell me, he said, you ought to get into the truck, into transportation. You ought to get into sales. Those guys do well. And so during that time, the teaching profession was really in the tank, and there wasn't hiring, so I gave it a whirl. And I went to work for my cousin, and wasn't making diddly squat. I mean, very, very little, but he was one of these guys that, you know, that you had to learn on your own. And I was blessed. I did do a lot of that. I got my hands dirty and learned to drive a truck and all these things. And then one of the owners of Service Transport, I met him because my cousin and I had a love-hate relationship. We did. And this particular day, it was a hate relationship. And so I met one of the owners at Service Transport because I was working for my cousin, and he was leased to Service Transport. But I met him, and we were working in Livingston. I was in this area here, and I just walked up to him, and I said, I don't know if you know me or not, but my name is John West, and I would like to go to work for you. And so my dad knew the owner of Service Transport real well. They were real good buddies, and when they got to talking about it and going to hire me, two of them said, give him a shot. One of them said, he's a smart aleck. We don't need him. I guess it was because I'd graduated from college and I thought I knew a lot, which I didn't know anything really. But they gave me a shot and I learned a lot there. And we moved up here. They built us a facility here in Livingston, and we grew that company right here in Livingston from just a few $100,000 a year to over $3 million in revenue a year annually. And we were very fortunate. Just fast forwarding along, of course, my wife's very supportive of me. We talk Sunday, she's my Joab. She sometimes tells me things that I don't need to hear or don't want to hear, but I need to hear. But I went to work, and then the owners of Service Transport decided to sell in 2001. They were getting older, so a holding company bought them. And the new CEO called me in and said, we want to promote you. So I prayed about it, man, and I prayed about it. And it was one of those things that he called me. He said, I'm putting you in this place to be an encourager, because I was over the states of Tennessee and Kentucky. And the people that were working under me, a lot of them had been beaten up, not physically, but had been beaten in just, you know. And so when I took that, that's what I did. I became an encourager for them. And we met. We prayed a lot together. My faith was really growing during that time, because I'd gone to Emmaus in 1992, and that was a life-changing experience for me. Well, so in 2002 or 2003, a gentleman that Service Transport hired, which I didn't really like, I've forgiven him now, but I didn't like him then because he fired me. He came in one day on November 9th and came in and said, shut the door behind in my office, and I looked at him, and he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, well, I know why you're here. And he said, why? And I said, you're firing me. And he said, how'd you know that? And I said, I can just feel it. And he said, well, yeah, we're just eliminating your job. So I had been there 25 years. I'm going so a friend of mine had left Service Transport years before and gone to work for Averett, and Averett and us were very stiff competitors. And where I'm going with this, you'll find out in a minute. So anyhow, I called him and he said, man, you're out of job. We need you. But it was in 2004. The business was in the tank. Transportation was really sucked at that time. And so they called me, and I met with the senior management of Averett, and they just knocked my socks. They created a job for me in 2005. they created the job for me. And I'm thinking, why in the world would you do that? I badmouthed you for years, and you know, well, I didn't really badmouth, but we were just competitors, and you made a job for me. So I worked for them for a year and a half, and I'd said I'd never work for them. And then a year and a half later, a year and 3 months later, my cousin, who we had the love-hate relationship, he calls me unexpectedly on the phone while I was working for Avery and said, I'd like to talk to you about going to work for me again. So I came home and told Amanda, and we prayed about it, and I went to work for him. And I'd said I'd never work for him again. So there's two of them. And so in 2011, they fell on some kind of tough financial times, and I knew that my job time with them would be short-lived because of that love-hate relationship kind of thing. And in 2011, in January, his son came up here. We had an office on Church Street, and he came in, shut the door, and I knew then. I've had this happen before. He said, it's just not working out. We're going to have to let you go. And I said, okay, so I'm getting better at dealing with this. I mean, you know, so in 2010, we started a little on the side. I started a little thing on the side with a friend of mine. We started J&K Equipment Leasing. We started leasing a little some pieces of equipment to Hutchison here in Livingston. And that was just a little sideline. And then so when I lost my job, Lord said, I really felt like you need to do this. Get out and do it on your own. Get out and start your own business. So I went and talked to Keith Poston. He and I went to school together. He's a little older than me, but he had one truck, and then we had some equipment leased. But he said, yeah, and his son was willing to drive, and I had another guy that was driving. But we started off, and in 2011, we did a little over $200,000 in revenue, and I made very little. But as we grew, I added some equipment. Keith was just always in the background. He never was really into it. He just said, look, I'll help you buy equipment. If you need me, I'll be there. But you just run it. And I paid him, you know, just kind of a royalty every once in a while. It was just a handshake agreement. That's what we've got, a handshake agreement. Nothing really in writing, because I trust Keith. But in 14 or 15, he went to work for Fitzgerald. And so he said, I'm going to work for them, so it's yours. So in 2014-15, I started doing it by myself. Since then, I mean, but I've got three drivers now, and I've got six trucks and nine trailers, and I've got some equipment that I leased to Hutchison. But in 2021, we did almost $800,000 in revenue. That's not a lot. And to me, it's a lot, but that's not a lot to a lot of businesses. But my prayer that I really have prayed is that, Lord, I want to make a modest living. I want my employees to make a good living. And I just want to be able to pay my bills. That's it. And he's honored that. He really has. Now we go to this year. This year has been already bad. Our rates are higher than they've ever been, but costs are higher than they've ever been. My bank account is, and I'm just being transparent, my business bank account is lower than it's ever been. I've got an emergency fund that I've built up, and I've tapped into it already a little bit, but I'm trying. I'm very conservative with that. But God's faithful, and I'm not worried about it. Now, going back to 2012 or 13, when I really got into it, I just started, and I had a bunch of bills coming in. No money in the bank, none. Matter of fact, it was kind of like a minus in the bank. And I get this big bill, and I'm driving up 111, and Amanda calls it the vapors. It's what she, when you hyperventilate, that's what she calls it. But anyhow, I opened that bill. I got it out of the mailbox, and I opened it up, and I looked at it, and my eyes got real big. And when I got on 111, by the time I got to the overpass, I was almost hyperventilate. Just, you know, like, what's going to happen? And this voice, which I know it was God, are you going to trust me about this I put you in this, and you trust me about this, or are you going to hyperventilate and pass out right now? And I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm giving it to you. And that's what I've done. And that's what I still do. And I stand on that. And I believe that. And 2 weeks ago, I had a couple of gentlemen I talked to on the phone, and both of them, and I said, this is God, but I shared with Debbie Sunday, too. Both of them said, would you be interested in selling? And one of them said, now, when you get interested in selling, you'll talk to me first, won't you? And I said, well, yeah, I'll give you a call. And I told Amanda, I prayed about it, but I think right now that's a blessing, but it's also one of those things that I don't want to run ahead of God. I don't think it's time for me to get out of this. But the quick way would be, yeah, sell, get out, and put what money I could muster up in the bank and go play golf a lot more and play with my grandkids a whole lot more, even though I get to do that a lot now. Some people think I'm retired now, but I'm not. You asked John yesterday, I look like a grease pit monkey because my director of maintenance, Rich Tracy back there, he and Diana moved into our neighborhood 2 years ago now? Okay. Hey, they're from New York, upstate New York, but they're blessings. God put them there. And it's joke. Rich and I have this joke. I'll call him, and he's all, man, my gosh, he's the greatest neighbor. But I'll say, Rich, what are you doing? Nothing, John. I said, okay, if you mind if we borrow your welder? And I've got a generator, but it's not big enough to run his welder. So I said, you think you could bring your, or we could get your welder and generator, and I could do a little welding? Sure. It won't take but a few minutes. And this is 8, 9 in the morning. 7, 8 o'clock in the evening, we're coming back home. And so, and he's always just so even keel about, and it just humbles me that I've got such a good friend and good neighbor like Rich that he's put there in our neighborhood. But going back to all this, you know, I've got three wonderful drivers. Both of them made a whole lot more, all three of them made a whole lot more money than I did last year. But they're worth it. They're worth it. I'm investing in them because they're what has kept us open. I'm not. I just kind of wailed a little bit, and I drive a little bit too. But they're what keeps us open. And I've told Amanda, she's a nurse, and her job, and everybody in here has got an essential job, in my opinion. Your job is essential. But I really think that transportation is very essential to our nation. If the trucks part, folks, we're in trouble. And unfortunately, a lot of the industry that we deal with doesn't look at it like that. They kind of look at the drivers like they're just a commodity. During COVID, I had a couple in Atlanta that ended up needing to use the restroom at a distribution center, and they went to the door and it was locked. And they said, nope, you can't get in here. So he carries a bucket in his truck, and I'll just leave it at that. And that's sad. It is. Because they're human. They're good. Most of them are good people. There's a small percentage that makes the industry tainted, but most of them are good. And I've got one that's a little evangelist that I hired that he's kind of like me. He runs on his own time, but he and I had a talk just a little while back, and I said, Stoney, I gave you a raise in January for a reason. It wasn't to run late. And he is, but he's an evangelist. He's a gifted musician. And when I hired him, he's doing a funeral today. He had to go do a funeral. So he went to Laverne this morning to pick up load. But he's probably doing a funeral right now. And I told him, I said, look, God calls you to do stuff. I'll work with you any way I can. There may be some times when you're going to have to drive. It may be one of those times. But other than that, I'm going to honor you. Because you're called by God too in this thing. But he's been a great driver. But I feel, like I say, that God's going to work us through this. If I have to tap into my emergency fund a little more, that's fine. That's why it's there. That's why it's called an emergency. And right now, it's a full-fledged emergency to a point. But this is, last year was the first time that I'd ever had a customer file bankruptcy. And there's a, what he ended up, but they ended up on me was right at $25,000. And that sure would have come in handy right now. But you know what? I'm not bitter at them. I think they kind of made some bad business decisions and stuff, but I'm not bitter at them. Matter of fact, I prayed for them. I was praying for them to get out of it so I could get my part of the money too, but it didn't happen that way. And that's okay. I mean, you know, bad things happen. And again, I really do trust the Lord. I'm at peace right now. And Bruce Fletcher, he and Amy are dear friends of ours, and they finally talked me into going on a golf trip with them next Wednesday. And I was just sitting back there rolling my head, how am I going to do this because of all this going on? But we went to Florida 2 weeks ago with the grandkids just for a few days, but I went. I operate off this. I can do most of my stuff off this right here now. I do most of my billing is through an app called Transvelocity, where when I get the documents in, I scan them, I do the invoice, I send it to them, and my receivables normally run about 12 to 15 days, and that's good. I mean, that's really good. I stand on two scriptures right more than anything, and they're the things that come to mind more than anything is Proverbs 16:3. If we'll commit to the Lord, you know, well, let me find it because I want to get it right. I don't want to misquote it. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Well, I've committed J&K to the Lord. I did it when I had the vapors that day. And that was 12 years ago, or 11 years ago. And the other one is a scripture that we prayed over Adrian a lot. She was one of her favorite Bible verses, but it's one of mine, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. J&K has, like I say, for 11 years has given me a modest salary, has helped our home, made me a living here, and I've been able to, back before Craig passed away, Craig and I would be able to run every morning that he was able to run, and I couldn't have done that at a real job. I'm able to go with Amanda down to Luke and Allison's when Allison has to work, and stay with the kids and feed them breakfast till she can get there and take them to school. And I couldn't do that if I had a real job. And at 9 a.m. over here, some days of the week, I'm at Hidden Valley playing golf at 9 a.m. in the morning till about 12, and I couldn't do that with a real job. But it is a real job, but it's a blessing. And God has honored me by just allowing me this privilege to do this. And again, that prayer about, Lord, I just want to make a modest profit and pay my bills. He's honored that because, I mean, our credit rating's great. I mean, we're very blessed. We've got a good credit rating. And so it's a crazy thing right now. I've got a driver that's going to head to Castle Rock, Colorado, Friday evening or Saturday morning to make a delivery. And this is just mind-boggling. We're going to get almost $9,000 to move that load. But we're going to probably spend about $3,000 in fuel. And last year at this time, it would have probably been close to $1,200. So this is a very crazy time. I've already seen a lot of, and the devil tries to rise up in me, the vapors again, when I see these articles about companies, small companies that have been in business 20 and 30 and 40 years that are closing their doors right now. And I'm not giving in to that. Satan, get behind me. I'm not getting the vapors over that. And if I have to close, God's got something else in store. This company doesn't define who I am. God defines who I am. Amen. And so, you know, like I say, My biggest cheerleader is Amanda B. West. She has been, even though there's times when I'll be there in a minute and an hour later I pull in greasy and dirty, and she still offers me grace, and she still does, and she knows that's going to happen again and again and again and again. But she's my biggest cheerleader, and she's been my biggest supporter through all this, and I'm very blessed that she's there to share this with me sometimes. Oh, sometimes. But I, again, I'm just privileged to share that with you, and I don't, I guess that's it. If anybody's got any questions, and if you don't have, I'm good with that too. Amen.
It's always good to get other people's perspectives in their business and how they've gotten to where they've gotten, and we can all learn lessons from that. Next month, on the 27th, we have Bennett Jared, who is a financial planner, who's coming in to talk about the financial side of starting a business and running a business and marketing and things of that nature, to get more of the nuts and bolts of running a business. And I was thinking of maybe taking a break in July, because it all falls into the leadership school and we'll probably all be a little bit busy. And then the next one would be in August, and I'm working on a speaker for that right now. So anybody got any questions or anything? Have a wonderful day and be safe.